Thank God. Well, we've been in a series on Wednesdays. On Wednesdays, we preach on faith and actually teach most of the time on faith and healing. We started Wednesday nights 5 years ago almost, and believe that God had us to speak on faith and healing, and we're not going to do anything different unless we feel like He's telling us to do something different. There's a purpose for every service. We don't do everything in every service. We endeavor to be led by the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean you just do everything all over the place all the time. Unless there's a specific way God's leading, then we'll do what He's told us to do. But on Wednesday nights, we emphasize faith and healing. And those two things right there, if your faith is strong and you know what God said about healing for your body and your body's strong so you can do His work, I mean, you got it made. Those are two of the most important things. If you know God and your faith is strong, faith works the same in every area. Believe in His word, and you know that He wants you well and healed and whole, and you can walk strong. There's all other kinds of stuff that can happen, but you know you're going to get along with the people better around you if your faith is strong and you're built up. And if you know if you're sick, that just has a tendency to make you grumpy. You know, if you're, you know, you just got to deal with your flesh. I mean, let's be honest. I haven't met a person that likes being sick, even if it's a headache or a cold. I mean, how much more chronic pain or something? That's not God's will. That's not God's best, and it's not His will. And if we know what His word says and we act on it, man, I mean, money is, you know, anybody that says money's not important, it's probably not being completely truthful. It's important, but not compared to your health or your salvation, it's not. But it's important. But God will, if we know what He's doing, what He says in His word, we can flow with Him. We can have His best in every area. So we've been talking about God's great mercy in healing for the last several weeks. And we talked about last week, in reviewing, we read a few scriptures. I'm not going to take time to turn to all these, but why don't we turn to Hebrews 4? We'll just pick up there, and then we'll go into a little bit further tonight. But Hebrews 4, we've just been talking about that God's, we're going to hit on it again tonight, God is a merciful and compassionate God. He is the God of mercies, the Bible says. It says He's the Father of mercies. And it's His will that we be healthy and whole. He is compassionate and merciful, and we looked and saw how His compassion, being merciful is having compassion. Having compassion is being merciful. And I don't have time, we can't recap all those things, but if you didn't hear them, go back. That's why the messages are on the website. Go back and listen to them. Because we went through scriptures where Jesus, when He walked the earth, how it says He was moved by compassion and He healed. So to think, you know, some people teach that God doesn't heal today. Well, healing is a mercy. Healing is a compassion. So if God's not healing, He's changed. His mercy has changed. And nobody would say He's not merciful now. Well, healing is a mercy. That's part of His mercy. The Bible says Jesus was he was moved with compassion and He healed. Well, He's the same today. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. And so His mercy hasn't changed. His will to heal us has not changed. Look real quickly at Hebrews 4:15. This isn't where I'm going to stay. We're going to move on. But Hebrews 4:15, it says, everybody there? It says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." It says, "We do not have," in the New King James, "we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." In the King James, it says, "We do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." That word touched there is the same word in Hebrews 10:34 when it says he had compassion on my bonds, whoever the writer of Hebrew is, which is probably Paul. But it says, for he had compassion on me. That's the same word when you see it says, which a high priest which cannot be touched or which cannot be cannot sympathize with our infirmities. So Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And we talked about this some last week, how if you just know somebody that you love, just if you got somebody, a picture of somebody in your mind that you love, that you care for, if they're hurting, if they're in pain, if you see them cringing because they're having pain somewhere in their body or they, you know, they're weak, does that touch you as somebody who loves them? Does it? Well, how much does Jesus love us? Yes. The Bible says God is love. Does it touch you? Does it touch him? The Bible says it touches Jesus. Cannot. We don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feelings of our feeling of our infirmities. He walked on the earth as we are. He was without sin, but he walked in a body, and he knows what it's like to be pushed physically. He sweat drops of blood in the garden. He knows what it's like to be tempted, but he never yielded. But he still knows what it's like to walk as a human. He had to walk as a human. He was 100% God, 100% man, but he walked and took our place. He had to. He had to walk as a man, or else he couldn't have taken our place. But the Bible says he was touched and can be touched with the feeling of infirmities. But now that means he understands where we are, and he's touched. He's compassionate. And so we ask the question, if somebody that you knew, that you loved, was hurting, would you help them? If you could. See, that's God. God is a merciful God and a compassionate God, and he loves us and he wants us to be well. We made this statement, God wants us to be well more than we want to be well. God wants to heal us more than we want to be healed. He wants to make it so in our bodies. He wants us to be healthy more than you want it. Now, if that's news to you, go back and listen to the last two messages, because I don't have time to work up to that. I'm just going to say it. You go back and listen to like the third and fourth message. We touch on it. We don't just make that statement out of the blue. We go back and give scripture, and then we make that statement. But God wants, in other words, we can feel like I could just be well. If I could get rid of this pain somewhere in my body. Has it? Don't raise your hand. But if you've ever had a chronic pain or a chronic ailment, it can become where that, you know, that is in your face, so to speak. It's like you're trying to walk about in life, but this is the way that thing is to you. That's what you see. You just basically see little bits of other things, but basically I'm seeing this thing. If I could get rid of this thing, if I could get rid of this pain. I mean, many things could be like that. You could have a relational issue. You could have a financial issue. It could become to where this is what you see. You can't see anything else because this is it. There could be 15 things in front of you that are going awesome, but this is what you see. Anybody can relate to that? And when you're hurting, you want that hurting to stop, right? Anybody in their right mind is not saying, no, I can take it. Give it to me. More. Okay. Well, I know I'm not like that. If it's a pain, I want it to stop. Now, pain isn't good or bad in itself. How many of you, you know, if there's a blade going through, you know, you're walking through something and you catch your leg on something and it's starting to cut through your leg. How many of you know you don't want to damage your leg, and by that pain being there, you draw it away? It's a warning system. That's all it is. You're cutting vegetables up and you hit your finger and you move it away before you cut your tip of your finger off. Pain's not a bad thing. Think about it. Yeah. It's just a warning system. But when you have pain all the time, it just won't go away. That's not a good thing. I mean, it's telling you something's wrong, but you're like, okay, I want it to go away. So we said this, you can get to where I just want it to stop, and you can feel like, God, why don't you make it stop? Why are you not doing something? We'll talk about that in a bit, but it's not God. We have to change our thinking. We have to realize that God wants us well more than we want to be well. Amen. If we think, see, so many times we start getting into this mode where somehow we're trying to get God into the mindset that he'll heal us. When the fact is, he already sent Jesus 2,000 years ago. See, he saw ahead. People say, well, why aren't you doing anything about it? He already has done something about it. He sent Jesus to die for us, to take those stripes on his back, and to the Bible says in one translation, he was crushed for our iniquities. He bore our sicknesses and infirmities in his body. Jesus, God already saw ahead and he made provision. He's already sent Jesus. That's why 1 Peter 2:24 says, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. The provision has been made. God has made the provision, but there is the receiving of it and the walking in it. See, God wants to make it so in our life. See, it's like this. Anybody know the scripture that you are more than conquerors? Well, that would mean you are a conqueror. That would mean God has made us winners. But it's the same thing. He's made us winners, but you can be in a certain situation and you can feel like, see, you haven't won yet. You're walking through it. You need to win. But he's already made you a winner. But in this situation, you haven't won. Now, God wants to help you win. But he's already made you a conqueror. But in this situation, God wants you to win. He wants to help you win more than you want to win. You see it? But he's already made you a conqueror. But he wants to help you win. See, that's not contradiction. It's the same thing. He's already healed us by the stripes of Jesus, but he's provided it, but he wants to heal you. You may need healing. The provision's there, but he's like, I've already paid for this. Let the Holy Spirit come on you and change your body and make it so. And he wants that more than we want it. See, if you change your mind to where it's not, I'm trying to get God to do it, to where, wait a minute, you want this more than me? See, it changes your mindset to where, okay, what's wrong? What's the problem? Where am I looking? Because it's not God. It'll change. It's like, wait a minute, you're not against me. I'm not trying. You didn't do this to me. It's not your will that I be going through this. You love me. You have compassion on me. So you're going in the same direction. All right, I have you on my side. Now, that changes it. It's like, okay, now all I have to do is just let him do it. And if there's anything, see, so many times it's our thinking. We've been brainwashed and told different things. Well, you know, it's not your time. God, see, if it's not your time now, when is it your time? Because you're going to die before not too long. And I mean, if it's another 100 years, it's not too long. So if it wasn't your time now, well, what about the guy that lived 100 years ago? When was it his time? I mean, we make up these things, but God's compassion is constant. He was the same. He isn't withholding. He wasn't holding anything. See, it's a lot of times our thinking that gets to the stage where we're like, oh, you mean he already wants me to heal? Oh, now we let him do something that he's been wanting to make manifest in our lives all along. But he's a merciful God. So go back and listen to those. We don't have time to go over all that. But God compassionate high priest. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So I want to show you a few scriptures here. It shows where God's compassion was made manifest. Acts 5:15. Thank God. God is a good God. Amen. Everybody just say that. Say, God's a good God. All the time. Say it one more time. God is a good God. All the time. Bible says, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. He's good. He's good. Let's look at Acts here. Acts 5, verse 15. It says the man departed. Oh, I'm in the wrong place. I'm in John. Now I'm in the right place. Acts 5:15. So they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. So many Christians miss it when they say, yeah, that happened, but Peter did that. So no, Peter did not heal those people. Peter's shadow didn't heal them either. It was Jesus, full of compassion, who healed them. Sometimes our thinking is so limited that we get our eyes on people. Remember, Jesus is the head of the church. We could give, Ephesians 5:23, Colossians 1:18. He is the healer. Jesus is the one healing. He's the one that wants us to be well. And when you see these things manifest, people do get their eyes on people so many times. Well, it came through that person. I have to get to that person. They take their eyes right off God. And they're not seeking God. They're seeking what he can do. And they start getting their eyes on people and thinking men have power. No, men can just flow with the Holy Spirit. See, we don't use God. God uses us. We have to let him use us. You can't turn things on and off. We can share with people what he has said in his word, and we can minister by the Holy Spirit, but you can't use God. You can't make him move. Now, things that he's already promised, he's already said he would do it. You don't have to get him into the notion of healing people. He's already said. But these type of special miracles, this is God moving. And we talked about that too in another series some time ago, and talked about the divine moving of God in some of the gifts of the Spirit versus just acting in faith. See, some people are waiting for a special move of the Holy Spirit instead of acting in faith, which every believer can do. You act on what the Word of God has said in any area, whether it's finances, whether it's healing, whether it's relationships, whether it's being born again. How did we become born again? We believed what the Word says. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you would be saved. Huh? We acted on the word. Well, when it says, by his stripes you were healed, well, what do we have to do? Use faith, act in faith. Any believer can do that. But some people are waiting for God to move and saying, God, why aren't you moving? Well, he has moved. He moves in these special ways too. You can't control that. That's as the Spirit wills, Corinthians tells us. But you can act in faith every day. And that's the way it always works. You don't have to wait for anybody to pray for you. You can just act on the word. But so this is a place where God was healing people through Peter's shadow. Now go over to Acts 19:11, another example. Acts 19:11. Everybody there? It says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. I like what it says in the King James. It says, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. You see that today. For some reason, cloth transmits the anointing of God. Metal doesn't, just by experientially. You see, Brother Hagin would talk about Pastor Hagin now, Kenneth W. Hagin. If they have a healing service, and they've done this for years, like in the Friday night of a crusade or a Friday night of when you go out for winter Bible seminar. I'm not saying anything specific about Pastor Hagin. He's a man I respect, but he just preaches the word. But he's my pastor. But just using him as an example, they will, on healing night, they will pray for the sick after preaching on healing, and there's an anointing that's going when they're laying hands on people, but they will also tell the people, bring, it could be either clothes or cloth, like they'll like children's toys, and they'll put them on the front, and then they'll lay hands on those. And they've had testimony, you can't convince me, they've had testimony after testimony after testimony of people taking those. So maybe people would, they wouldn't necessarily come to church, but there's a child, you know, a nephew or a niece or somebody that has a physical ailment or adult, whatever, wouldn't necessarily come to church, couldn't get some of these things into their home, but they would let a toy in. And so they would send a toy made of cloth. And they would lay hands on them, and they would lay hands on it. The anointing would go in there. They would send it back with the child, and he would sleep with it, or they'd put it on him, and the stuff would clear up. Well, why is that? It's right here. It's scriptural. It says there's some cloth will transmit the anointing. Metal, things like that won't. See, it's these things are not far out there. It's the spiritual realm is more real than this natural realm. Just like you can see this. This may look really solid, but if you could see, you know, through a microscope, this is full of holes. Yeah. But I can touch it, and we say, this is really real. Well, God is real, more real than this. There are angels in this room right now. They're just as real as that chair. You just can't see them with your physical eyes. There's electricity in these walls, in the wires. You can't see it, but you don't want to get a hold of it at the wrong time. You'll feel it. Well, it's the same thing with God. God's power is real, and it is similar to electricity. It will flow, but you got to have the switch turn on. What's the switch? Faith. See, it can be there. Like we've said before, those switches control whether electricity flows into these lights. But the electricity is always there. But if you don't have the switch on, there is nothing flowing. But God's power is that same way. It's there, and it'll flow into this natural realm when we reach out to it in faith. But here you see, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that hit. I was reading in the King James, but so even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. See, just what I was telling you. It's right here. Even handkerchiefs or aprons that were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. So who healed the sick in this passage? Was it Paul? No, it wasn't. It doesn't say God or Paul wrought special miracles by the hands of God. It says God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. It was God who healed the sick. If we're not careful, we can get our eyes on man and think that man works the miracles. Man can't heal a gnat. It's the power of God. We're just vessels that power can flow through. But men don't have the power. Someone might say the handkerchiefs are what caused the miracle. Well, if the handkerchiefs caused the miracle, we would have handkerchiefs. Any handkerchief could do it. You just have a handkerchief ministry. You just go and just buy all kinds, you know, yellow handkerchiefs, red handkerchiefs, and just put them on people and people be healed. Well, that's not the case. It's not the handkerchief. It's not the toy like we talked about. No, it's the anointing of God. What's the anointing? It's the working of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus with what? With the Holy Spirit and power. So the handkerchiefs didn't do it. No, God has to be involved. Just as the same way it wasn't Peter's shadow that did it. If it was Peter's shadow in and of itself that healed people, then years later people would have still been getting healed by his shadow. See, it wasn't that Peter was superhuman. See, Peter was a man. He walked with God. He was an apostle, but he was a man. And he didn't walk around just with superpowers. God was working special miracles through him at certain times, but it wasn't like he had a shadow ministry. You know, come over here. You need healing? Get under there. No, it wasn't like that. It would happen. It's by the will of God. You can't turn the gifts of the Spirit on and off. We can only flow with them. It was God who healed the people. It was simply through Peter's shadow. Let's go over to Acts 28. See another example. Acts 28, verse 8. Everybody there? Acts 28. In Acts 28, we find God's compassion manifested again through Paul in the healing of all these people that were on the island of Malta. 28:8, it says, "And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him." That's scriptural. Mark 16:15 says that believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But it says, he went into him and prayed and healed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Verse 9, "So when this is done," look at this, "the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came," and what?
Healed.
They were healed. So this gentleman's father was healed after Paul laid hands on him, but it wasn't Paul who healed him. It was God. The man wasn't healed because Paul was a mighty apostle or because of any human ingenuity from a natural standpoint. Paul didn't minister to the people just as Paul, the man, or Paul the apostle. He ministered to them empowered by the Holy Spirit and directed by the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Notice that Paul entered in, prayed, and laid his hands on the sick man, and the man was healed. Why did Paul pray and lay his hands on the man? Do you think he just thought that up? No, we just quoted Mark 16:15. Why don't you just look over there real quick, in case you're not familiar with it. Mark 16:15. Let's just read this whole passage. Mark 16:15, everybody there? I still hear pages. All right, Mark 16:15 says, "And he," Jesus, "said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons." Now notice, it says in my name, and it lists all these things. In my name they will cast out demons. You could say in my name they will speak with tongues. In my name means in his authority because of what he did, because we're sent. Notice he said in verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He's sending us. He's given us authority. He sent us. And we do these things by his authority that he has granted us. It's as if he were here doing it. See, he's the same yesterday. We're the body of Christ. He's the head. We can't do anything apart from the head. But if he sent us to do something, we're doing it because he told us to do it and by his authority. That's what the "in the name of Jesus" means. It's not a tagline to a prayer. You say it. When we say it in the name of Jesus, we're praying in his authority, in his name, in his will be done here on earth. Verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those who believe." Notice, believing. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and what? They will recover. That's definite, isn't it? It doesn't say they may recover if it's my will for them to recover. It doesn't say they may recover if it's their time. It says you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Amen. So Paul's doing that here in Acts. He's laying, now you lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus. Notice in here, in what we just read, it says, in my name these signs will fall. In my name they will cast out demons. You could just read it like this. In my name they will speak with new tongues. In my name they will take up serpents, and they will drink anything deadly. It will by no means hurt them. In my name they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. The Lord is still healing through his name and through his followers. Are we going to do the greater works of Jesus just through our natural abilities? Jesus said in John 14, 12, that we would do, he said, these works you will do and greater works you will do. How are we going to do those? Just because of our own natural ability? No. Through his Spirit working through us. Just like what we talked about here. We go, he said, go and do. Go, lay hands on the sick. And what? They would recover. He said we would do things. Who's really doing it, though? We're the vessel, but who commissioned it? Whose authority is it? Whose ministry is it? The head of the church. He's the head. He said, you go. And when people are being healed and helped, it's actually the head of the church, through the power of the Holy Spirit, who's here getting it done. We're just the vessels. But it's him. He has not changed. He is a merciful God, and he is a healing God today, just the same as in all these scriptures we just read. Amen.